This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely, positively, FedEx. Today's show is sponsored by Acura.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura.
And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet.
Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own.
Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Airbnb.
It's wedding season.
Yes, it is. What's going on, baby?
Alex and I just got invited to a beautiful venue for the wedding of a childhood buddy of mine.
Lovely. Can't wait to hear about
it. We got babysitters. We're all set to go.
And the first thing that you did, Jack?
Book a hotel for the wedding.
Okay. Second thing that you did?
List my place as available that weekend on Airbnb.
Millions of people host on Airbnb, but millions more have never even thought about hosting.
Here's the thing. We've said it's great to make money while you sleep. Actually, Warren Buffett said that.
Well, when you're an Airbnb host, you make money while you sleep and while someone else sleeps.
That's why anytime I'm traveling, I immediately jump into Airbnb and set my house as available. It's that easy.
So Yetis, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
It's Friday, the real Friday, July 1st, and today's pod is the best one yet.
TBOI, this is our last pod until T-Boy Tuesday.
Yetis, enjoy your 4th of July Grillapalooza out there.
If you miss us, we are doing our weekly live event on Instagram, T-Boy Live, today at 12 o'clock noon Eastern Time.
You can ask us about investing, entrepreneurship, or our takeaways from the pod episodes this week.
That's right. At T-Boy Live on Instagram, we're discussing investing, entrepreneurship, and our takeaways from this week.
Jack, before we throw a shrimp on the Barbie, what's our first story?
If you're hitting the beach this weekend, you may bring your own 12-pack of LaCroix.
LaCroix just said they had their best quarter ever. But did it taste like that?
For our third and final story, New Zealand Airlines is replacing cramped economy seats with triple-decker bunk beds.
Besties, the future of airlines is retail, not feetail.
And our third and final story is Zigazoo. Zigazoo just hit a $100 million valuation to be the social media app for kindergartners.
If you're happy and you know it, tap to like. Tap to like.
But before we hit that wonderful mix, Nick.
Do I even need to say it? It's honestly just the best mix before a three-day weekend.
Remember, the trickiest trademark of them all.
Jack, the craziest of the copyrights, shall we reveal it?
It's not that Adam Newman tried trademarking the word we.
Yeah, thanks to Yeti Moshi, we now know that that happened. Massa!
Or it's not Ferrari trademarking their unique engine purr.
Thanks for letting us know, Rodrigo.
Or the 600 terms trademarked by the United States Marine.
Salute to a Marine named Kate who DM'd us that.
The trickiest trademark is owned by Facebook, who owns Face.
Yetis, your face is Facebook's.
Not your literal face, but the word face to describe your face. That's Facebook's.
Yeah, Jack and I jumped in T-Boy style. It's serial number 7890756, Face, for use in telecommunication services.
That's right. Back in 2010, the United States Patent and Trademark Office allowed Facebook legal protection of the word face.
Facebook's already got pics of your face. May as well own the word face.
Now, if you want to launch like a face cream startup, go ahead. You can use the word face in the name of that startup.
But if you want to launch a face cream app, your face is going to get sued.
Because Facebook owns face.
It's the ultimate zucking. And if you see zucking, you say zucking.
Now, let's hit our three stories.
This is the best one yet.
The best one yet is a registered trademark of Nick and Jack Studios. Copyright 2022. All rights reserved. If this podcast lasts longer than 4 hours, contact your doctor. Nick and Jack are not using the word face in a telecommunication services application. Please don't suck us.
15 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea to cause a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick, that's it. I don't even think they need to practice. 50%, that's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, cause we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show.
For our first story, National Beverage Corp, the owner of LaCroix, just said it had a record quarter for sparkling water.
The sparkling water is delicious, but was it really their best quarter, Nick?
Okay, hibiscus or limoncello, or are you getting pamplemousse vibes?
They got a limoncello.
They do, not alk.
So it's just lemon?
Yes, just lemon. If you're heading to the beach, LaCroix for the boys.
This is owned by National Beverage Corp, the only pure play publicly traded seltzer stock.
Yeah, Jack, what's the ticker symbol for LaCroix again?
Fizz.
Fizz, yeah. $5 billion company based in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. They're worth like half a Lyft. Not too shabby.
Perfect timing to talk about LaCroix because it's 4th of July weekend.
It's like Spindrift for your soul. No pamplemousse, no party.
And National Beverage Corp just announced their quarterly earnings. It was entertaining like a pool party.
Okay, first of all, Jack and I have jumped into many LaCroix earnings, and they happen to be the only earnings report with an American flag at the top.
They have a flamboyant CEO who says in every earnings report in all caps that he would bottle patriotism if he could.
But funny thing, Jack and I noticed, there are some issues right now with National Beverage Corp because their stock is up this year.
That's impressive.
But their stock is down over the last 5 years.
Ow.
And the LaCroix beverage maker did just say they had their best ever quarter because sales are up 6%.
But we compared last quarter sales to 2018.
We did.
It's as flat as an Evian bottle.
But Yetis, here's what Jack and I find so fascinating about this story. We went back T-Boy style to every single earnings report that we've covered about National Beverage Corp.
We went into five.
And there is one word that they keep mentioning in every single earnings.
We control F this thing. Innovation. They use the word innovation like Ohio State uses the word the.
Like, for example, just in this past quarter, Jack, what were the new innovations that National Beverage said they whipped up for LaCroix?
Beach plum, black raspberry, and guava Sao Paulo. Three new flavors.
But then, Jack, what was the other innovation, like the innovation they were really highlighting last quarter?
LaCroix cherry blossom.
Cherry blossom. Have you had a cherry blossom?
I didn't know that was a flavor. I didn't know they were edible.
It's like a perfume, maybe, not a drink?
No, these innovations, they sound delicious.
Okay, full disclosure, love the guava.
But they're just flavors.
Hey, National Beverage, where's the can innovation?
Where's like a keg-sized LaCroix for the beach party?
LaCroix, where is the collaboration innovation?
Like Coca-Cola just did with Jack Daniels.
LaCroix, where is the trend-catching innovation?
Ready-to-drink canned cocktails is all the rage. Why isn't LaCroix in any of them?
Jack, it feels like we should pop a takeaway. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at National Beverage Corp and LaCroix?
This is Zoolander innovation. It's Minnovation. It's innovation for ants.
Yeah. Besties, those new flavors, they're not innovations. They're Minnovations.
They're marginal improvements. They're not major advancements in the product.
Yeah, Minnovations, that's fantastic for engagement. They keep your core customer excited.
But innovations, real innovations, are crucial for growth. That's what gets new customers into LaCroix.
It's just like Derek Zoolander said, what is this? Innovation for ants?
The wise Derek Zoolander once hath said.
So National Beverage Corp, yeah, their stock soared until 2018, but then the competition to seltzer came in.
And when competition is fierce, which it is in seltzer, if you're not innovating, your stock's gonna fall.
LaCroix, still delicious, but it's Minnovating, not innovating. For our second story, Air New Zealand is introducing bunk beds. Bunk beds!
Bunk beds!
Bunk beds to its airplanes.
Instead of fee tail, airlines should offer us some retail.
Okay, Jack, what do you think it is? Like odds 2 out of 3 Yetis are in an airport line right now about to take off their shoes and laptops? Remove all electronics and move to the back of the line.
The other third is removing their shoes to find some change to pay for the gas.
I already took off my belt, man.
Well, New Zealand, an island nation. You don't need to watch the trilogy of Lord of the Rings to know how remote New Zealand is.
Flights to and from New Zealand, they take a long time. So New Zealand's airline company, which is majority owned by the government, is adding bunk beds.
They're adding bunk beds to the economy section of their flights.
It's a new product that they're calling the Sky Nest, which will exist in the sky.
They call it the Sky Nest. We call it the triple decker bunk beds.
They're like a dibs on top bunk situation, but in row 59.
Right. So in the back of the plane, they're going to have 3 beds on one side stacked on top of each other, and 3 beds on the other side of the aisle stacked on top of each other with a curtain that you can draw.
So you may be in the back of the plane in row 86, but you can still book out a bunk bed for a portion of the flight.
It's a 6-pack of sleepers that the whole, you know, coach section gets to share with each other for the flight.
Ipso facto, the world's first sleep pods for economy travelers.
Now, these Kiwis at Air New Zealand, they know them some marketing.
They do. They do know marketing. Jack, what was the line you noticed?
This is from the press release. They said, it's time to swap out the headrest for some bed rest.
Yeah, this is a full-size mattress for spooning or sporking in the sky.
Anytime I try to sleep on a headrest in a plane, my like back hurts. It's
you never get over it. I mean, the FAA is going to mandate no pillow fights at 30,000 feet.
Now, of course, first and business class, they've had like lay down beds for a while, but this is for the economy section.
But what also makes these new bunk beds so wild is that they're the first thing you're going to pay for on an airline that doesn't feel like a fee.
Yeah, these United Airlines, they have a seat selection fee and a priority boarding fee.
Delta, they got a baggage fee, a pet fee, and an in-flight Wi-Fi fee.
Spirit has a legroom fee, a soda fee, a bathroom fee, and a fee.
Yeah, everything we pay for on an airplane, it feels like it should have been included. Instead, it's a fee.
Right. Here's the situation. Airlines, they know you are a captive audience for 4 hours and 32 minutes. So they've created a new industry. Fee tail.
So that's why Jack and I love the idea of this product from Air New Zealand, because it's not fee tail. Jack, what would you call this thing?
It's retail. It feels fair to pay extra for 3 hours in a sleep pod.
It feels fair to pay extra to bunk up in a bunk bed that's a triple decker bunk bed.
It's just good retail. It's not fee tail.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over in the entire airline industry?
The longest delay in the airline industry is disruption to the airline industry.
Besties, in the 1970s, airlines got disrupted by Southwest and its happy flight attendants and its direct routes.
Yetis, in the 1990s, JetBlue reminded us that low-price air travel doesn't have to stink.
But honestly, Jack, since then, what have we been seeing?
We've been deprived for 20 plus years of any innovation in airlines.
And that's one reason why just 33% of Americans have positive views of airlines. That's it.
Now, an area that could disrupt air travel for the benefit of consumers and boost that positivity rating? Sleep.
Sleep. Like the health and wellness trend that's brought attention over the last couple of years to sleep. That's an opportunity.
For airlines. And Air New Zealand is reimagining their airplanes to prioritize sleep.
So the way Jack and I see it, the longest delay in the entire industry, it's disruption.
And disruption could finally come to airlines in the form of an economy triple-decker bunk bed.
And now a word from our sponsor, Robinhood.
Nick, you got introduced to the Robinhood app the old-fashioned way, right?
Yeah, I did. My girlfriend, now wife's older brother, who was that guy who worked in tech and like knew about the next iPhone before Apple did.
He told you about the Robinhood app?
He told me about the Robinhood app.
All right, so you signed up because you wanted to buy a stock. Because
like it was hard to figure out how to buy a stock when you're 25 and it's 2014.
Yeah, back then you had to find a broker, call a broker on the phone.
Call them.
Pay a commission to that broker.
Instead of calling, suddenly there's this app. You just swipe and you could buy the stock.
Robinhood's interface felt as easy as ordering an Uber or snagging a sandwich on Seamless.
And it still is. So if you're not a Robinhood user yet and you want to get started, you can go to Robinhood.com/TBoy and you can choose, get this, a free stock.
That's Robinhood.com/TBOY. Certain limitations apply and all investments involve risk.
Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC. Robinhood, by the way, no longer affiliated with us or the podcast. For our third and final story, Zigazoo, not a Spice Girls line, a social media app for kids just hit $100 million valuation.
A social media app for kindergartners has 1 million users, and that's a sign.
Okay, Jack, what is this? A new world record? How many times can you say the word safe in three paragraphs?
Zigazoo says it 6 times. On their website's About Us page.
Yeah, they do. It's the world's largest social network for kids.
Hence the safety concerns.
Earmuffs. Now, the NBA, Serena Williams, and Jimmy Kimmel all just invested, pumping up Zigazoo to a $100 million valuation.
They have 1 million users, but it's not just the number of users and the fame of the investors that's impressive. It's the content partners too.
Okay, on the content side of the platform, they got Apple, Netflix, Nickelodeon, LeBron James, and Dolly Parton to make content for this kids app.
And the content they're making is to engage children age 3 to 12. So we jumped in T-Boy style and set up a fake account.
Yes, we did. And at first glance, what Zigazoo looks like is, it's training wheels for TikTok. It's onboarding for Instagram.
Funny, to set up an account, it has to be a parent and a kid together.
Yes.
Because they require you record a video showing that it's not just a rogue kid and it's not just a creepy adult who doesn't have a kid trying to set up an account.
Once verified, you can hand off Zigazoo to Little Luna to scroll through videos that happen to focus on one very particular tech need.
Engagement.
Engagement. Like, the videos are, have you done tie-dye? What's your favorite beach toy? How many teeth do you have?
This app tries to engage Little Luna. The goal is to get her to interact, not just mindlessly scroll like so many of the other social media apps we know.
So there's a big button where Luna is going to record her very first selfie counting her teeth. She happens to have 13 teeth.
And then she posts for all the other kids to see that she has more teeth than little Johnny.
Now, here's where things kind of pivot a bit for Zigazoo as a social media app, because it may be more of a gaming app.
Well, it doesn't monetize through ads like every social media app we've ever seen.
In fact, the majority of the revenue for Zigazoo, the company, actually comes from in-app purchases just like Roblox or Fortnite.
So the business model is actually based on NFTs. They have an NFT arm. They generate NFTs and they want babies to buy them and collect, you know, digital things.
And you're like a toddler grabbing a digital picture of a puppy that happens to be Zigazoo's profit puppy business model.
All right, so there's this NFT thing. But when Nick downloaded the app,
this is a true story,
they said you could only buy things if you are a parent.
But then to check if I was a parent, it just had me answer the math question, what's 3 times 5, which I said was 15.
They figure the kid can't multiply. A 12-year-old could do that.
Right. It's like intelligence gated. Like if your kid does figure out multiplication tables, then they're going to rack up quite the bill on your MasterCard.
See, math is a lucrative profession.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Zigazoo?
The way apps grow up is part nature, part nurture.
Yeah, Yetis. Guess who else tried building a social media app for kids recently?
Facebook.
Yeah, Instagram Kids was basically building this, but they shut it down last year.
Congress didn't like it. Parents were nervous. Apparently, even Instagram staffers didn't like it.
Instagram's team said they would nurture the app with rules and policies to protect kids over time.
But parents just didn't trust the nature of Instagram Kids. It's Facebook ownership killed trust.
Yeah, the difference with Zigazoo is in the nature, like the founding team and their background. The nature, not the nurture.
The founding team is a husband and wife couple who are teachers with 3 kids. They're not big tech.
And they launched Zigazoo during the pandemic to help parents tend to kids. That was the nature.
When it comes to social media apps that their kids are going to use, parents want nature, not just nurture.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us before the 3-day weekend?
LaCroix sales just hit a record, but it's barely up from 4 years ago.
Because it's just about minivations, not real innovations.
For a second story, starting in 2024, Air New Zealand flights will have triple-decker bunk beds.
Okay, they haven't said the price to book one of these bunk beds, but this is a long overdue disruption in the air.
For our third and final story, Zigazoo is a leading contender to be the social media app for kids.
Because parents, they care more about an app's nature, not its nurture. The wheels on the bus go swipe, swipe, swipe. Now time for the best fact yet. This one from Sophia Dieguez over in lovely San Francisco.
Betsy Ross, she designed the revolutionary flag with the 13 stars.
It's a classic.
But she didn't design the 50-star flag that we know today.
Yeah, it turns out our current U.S. flag was actually a homework assignment. And get this, it got a B-.
Back up to 1959 when Hawaii became the 50th state in the union.
Well, 16-year-old Robert Heff designed a new flag for his history class with 50 stars.
But he got a B-. And he's like, I deserve better than a B-. So he challenged the teacher.
By sending it to President Eisenhower in D.C.
Little Robert and his parents fully stitched a full flag beta version prototype.
Yeah, so Robert was the first person to create and mail a fully stitched flag to the president, which ended up getting approved, and we now use it today.
A 16-year-old.
Jack and I, we do a podcast. Yetis, you look fantastic all week. And if you're chatting with someone this weekend about the Hoarder's Almanac or Darth Vader's voice sound or the most expensive whiskey in the world, ask them.
HYHTBOY.
Jack, what does it stand for?
Have you had the best one yet?
Jack and I will see you on Tuesday or on today's T-Boy Live.
Happy Independence Day. Have a great weekend.
See you there. And before we go, Chris, Jake, Molly, Jose, Eric, Brian, David, Daniel, Dakota, and Dominic, thank you for sending us pics of Rivian trucks out in the wild.
Congratulations to Dominique Polizzi and Stella Kiefer, who got engaged in Barcelona.
And Jack, get this, Jessica Loy is celebrating her 30th birthday by jumping out of an airplane in Key West at the exact same time she was born.
Sounds like she's getting reborn.
Yeah, Jessica is celebrating 20 years at the Tennessee Valley Authority over in Chattanooga.
And happy birthday to Melissa Van Holstein in Austin, Texas.
And Zhen Zhang turning 30 over in Brooklyn.
And happy 32nd birthday to Vicente Banuelos in Illinois.
And Dr. Mark Uemura over in Salinas, California, home of John Steinbeck.
And happy birthday to Brandon Hahn in the north end of Boston.
And Marquis Jones is going to be celebrating his birthday over in Thailand.
Happy birthday to Matthias Schilling in San Francisco.
And Christoph Holiday over in Detroit.
Happy birthday to Papa Mark Brady in Toronto.
And Justin Schulte turning 30 in Duluth.
And to anyone else celebrating something today, make it a T-boy.
Celebrate the wins.
This is Jack. I own stock of Netflix and Roblox, and Nick and I both own stock of Apple and Robinhood.
And now a word from our sponsor, Robinhood.
The first time I tried to buy a stock, I got burned badly.
Is this when you wanted to buy a share of Ford? Because you like the chassis over in Detroit?
Yes. I had $200, so I bought $200 of Ford stock. I didn't get $200 of Ford stock, though. I got $192.
Oh, the commission fees.
By the time the stock climbed back to $200, I sold it. But again, I didn't get $200. I got $192 again.
Another commission fee.
The stock rose 8%, but I was down on my investment.
Because commission fees made small money investing impossible.
So Robinhood came in and killed commission fees.
And commissions are still dead in stock and crypto trading, thanks to our sponsor.
If you're not investing on Robinhood yet, to get started, go to Robinhood.com/TBOY and choose a free stock.
That's Robinhood.com/TBOY. Certain limitations apply. For a list of other fees, view their fee schedule at rbnhd.co/fees.
All investments involve risk. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC. Oh, and by the way, Robinhood is no longer affiliated with us or the podcast.
And the stocks Jack just said are for illustrative purposes only and are not recommendations.
You really had some showmanship at the end there.
I would have said HYHTBY, but I felt like I would have
exploded.
You were
like really orchestrating things like a maestro.
Gesticulating. Yeah. It's like kind of like the Elaine dance, right?
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you, like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen to Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, and many more, Wondery means business.